Radio City with John Grayson and Rob Ross, and I'm Rob Ross, your congenital host, along with the other host, the nice guy, John Grayson. John, how are you doing this week?
I love that. You're congenital. We were born with you. I think. Oh, fantastic, man. What a way to start the show, and so much happening in the world. Or is there? Gee, I don't know. I've been away from the desk for a little while today. I'm not sure if there's anything going on at all.
Really? Anything? Nothing? No. Buckus? Zilch? Nada?
Seems Yentes, pretty quiet. Elset,
Nick, nine? Nada? I don't know. What happened?
I mean, look.
Let's cut to the chase, okay? Helsinki, Finland.
Right.
Place where they have vodka and good hockey players. You know, there were two very fine Russians there today. Too bad no Americans showed up.
Yeah, no kidding. And boy, I mean, the press conference got worse and worse and worse. And the thing is, it's as if it's not bad enough. As if it's not bad enough that he stood there next to Vladimir Putin and said, well, shit, he said he didn't do it. I mean, you know, what can I do? So now the guy who is always powerful and in control and all of that can't do a fucking thing about the guy who's standing right next to him lying to his face. Really? Nothing.
I think I'm angrier about that tweet where he completely shat upon the entire justice system and the FBI and the CIA. And I am just so appalled by his actions. I don't have anything funny to say about it, because as I've said so many times before, you know, and you have to work along my timeline. I've hated Donald Trump since the 80s because he's been a blight on New York. But this, to me, was possibly his most egregious act yet. I don't know if there's anything else he could possibly do any worse. And I'm sure he will, because he seems to find a way to step on these landmines, which just completely confound me that anyone, anywhere, and I do mean that, even those who are rational Republicans, and yes, there are many out there, and they do exist, and they are beyond appalled and embarrassed and ashamed for what he's dragged their party through, I'm sure he's going to find a way to do something else yet again that will infuriate us even further. But the thing is, with all of the folks that I know of and all of my Facebook friends and everybody out there in social justice warrior land, is very simply, stop arguing with each other. Stop ballyhooing about Trump's actions. Just prepare yourself to vote this Congress out
right
in November and take the proper action, okay? Enough is enough already, because the blame lies with the Democrats. We're busy giving way and kowtowing to the, quote, socialist Democrats, which is a complete misnomer and oxymoron, and at the Republicans, who think that they're still going to be able to coast on their older coattails, which isn't the case anymore. Everyone in Congress should be afraid right now, deservedly so, because it is your irresponsibility. And I'm sure you saw that pie chart graphic that was up last week of how many people voted in the last presidential election, which was very clear. There's no room for misinterpretation. These are hardcore facts, and it doesn't take a math whiz or any kind of deep sense of analysis to look at it. 63 million voted for Hillary Clinton. 60 million voted for Donald Trump, and 103 million didn't vote. So to every one of those people, yep. Go fuck yourselves,
yeah.
Every last one of you. And most of you are Bernie Sanders supporters, so fuck all of you.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly right. I mean, there is no excuse for any of us to have to go through what we're going through right now. And yet, this is the reality that we have to live on a daily basis. But you see, here's an even better question, because you placed the blame on the Democrats, and you're absolutely right about that. The better question is, what you just said, how many Democratic members of Congress are there right now? 200 and something?
It's a slightly lower number than that of the Republicans.
Right. So you got 435 members of Congress. So it's a little bit over 200 Democrats, or somewhere in that ballpark. So explain to me why it is that we're not hearing every single one of them on TV, on the radio, in newspapers, giving interviews online, going everywhere they can and saying exactly what you just said. Go vote. This is insane. What we're doing right now is absolutely unfathomably and unacceptable. predictably crazy, but the only way to do anything about it is to get to the polls and vote in November. And they're not out there. There's one, Maxine Waters. She's now the voice of all of this. And trust me, that's not who you want as the voice of all of this.
The problem is that they're all busy sucking up in their own districts for the pandering vote is what they're looking for. That's all there is to it, because the new age of Democrats is just to go whichever way the winds blow when it comes to social justice warriors.
Yeah,
that's it. They're all busy sucking up. Last week's Democrats are now suddenly more progressive and listening to what the younger people want. Bullshit, because these are the same lazy little fuckers who didn't go to the polls last time
right. Because
they were busy having a hissy fit that their cult leader, Bernie Sanders, who is no different than Donald Trump, and I don't give a damn what anybody says, and you want to come at me, bro. Castigate me all you want, because I'm going to be right time and time and time again.
Yeah.
And nobody wants a communist for a president. We've got one now.
Yeah, he's a crook. And he's a crook. Sanders is a crook. So, yeah, really, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. But that's the thing. I mean, where are the Democrats in Congress? This is what their job is right now, is fundraising and getting out there and getting the word out. And the reason why they're losing is because Donald Trump is on television every single day. And no, it doesn't matter that he's lying through his teeth. And no, it doesn't matter that he's a horrible person, obviously so, because they've drunk the Kool-Aid. They want to believe. So that ship has already sailed. The only thing that you can do is get out there and bang the drum. And right now, he's got the loudest drum. They're going to have to bang it louder than he does, and they're going to have to do it in force and in numbers, and they are nowhere, and they are silent.
Well, you know, there's something that to be said, as inane as this might be, but you know, all of the furor always comes from everybody waiting to see what is Trump going to tweet next.
Right. Stop reacting.
Twitter is so much like Facebook in their very selective way of saying what you can say and post and tweet and so on and so forth. Because, you know, you can't show an artistic photo of a woman's breasts on Facebook. They throw you in Facebook jail.
Right.
But you can show pictures of you know, a cop lying dead on the side of the road and have people making comments about good, dead pig shit. You know, and it's okay. It doesn't violate community standards,
yeah,
or
right.
In this case, the double standards. You know, so how come Twitter isn't out there with all the people clamoring for them to stop Trump to say, account suspended?
Right, right.
It's inflammatory. End of discussion. Where's the logic here?
Yeah. There isn't any. And nobody's doing what they should be doing. And you know, the thing about reacting to Trump's tweets, you are never going to win that way. I don't mean you. I'm talking about the people who are after, you know, protecting their own phony baloney jobs and getting more people on their side to have the job next to them. Is that if all they can do is go, did you see what he tweeted today? They're going to lose. They're going to lose badly. He wins that game every time. What you have to do is pull back, be big picture about it, and say, is this what you want life to be like? And if it isn't, do something about it.
John, myopia is the disease that is raging through the yep. Democrats right now.
Right.
And there's no way that they're going to win in November. I'm telling you, there's not going to be a blue wave. It might be a ripple, but not a blue wave.
Yeah.
Forget it. It's going to be the red tide instead, the crimson tide instead.
Yeah, and I had the chance to look it up real quick. It's 193, so there are 193 Democrats in Congress right now, because you do have, what, two or three independents in there. So, yeah.
And one communist.
Yeah, right. Forgot about him. How quickly we forget. But, yeah.
We'd like to. We should.
Right. But as far as what happened today with that press conference and Vladimir Putin, I mean, it was just it's embarrassing. There is no other word for it. It is the most embarrassing thing in the entire world. And when he decided not only to not dodge a proverbial bullet, but to step in front of one. I mean, the second question, and the guy from Reuters who had a two-parter, one was aimed at Trump that he did not answer, and the other one was aimed at Putin, that Trump stepped in and said, I'm going to – he did a Kanye. He's like, I'm going to let you finish. And then he decided to shoot his mouth off again and came off as even more of a total kiss ass.
Well, A, notice Kanye's a big Trump supporter, so
right.
Ain't that a surprise.
Yeah, right.
Dickheads for the price of one. Just when I thought that Trump couldn't be any more mortifying, especially after the whole thing that went on in England this week.
Right.
And I'm not even going to go bothering wasting our show time to talk about that debacle. But I'm going to say this very frankly and graphically because there's no other way to put it. I'm surprised Trump just didn't get to his knees and suck Putin's cock in front of the cameras.
Right. Well, he kind of did. Yeah.
That's what he was doing. And it was just shameful and appalling. And again, I'm so pissed off about his excoriation of our criminal justice system. And I'm not going to talk about impeachment because we all know how that road always winds up.
Right.
But what I'm going to talk about is what you just said, very simply. One, the Democrats better grow a pair collectively and fast. Not because of November, but because they're not doing their job. And B, people, you better wake up and stop fighting with each other about this and completely band together. If you're so against Trump, engage your friends who may be Republicans or on the fence, whatever it is, and have reasonable, rational discussions and present to them the facts. Obama was a shitty president. The facts are there. Bush was a shitty president. The facts were there. Clinton was a shitty president. The facts are there. Bush 41, Reagan, Carter, they were all shitty presidents. The facts are there. But we are living in the here and now. And what matters is, unfortunately, Donald Trump is the president of the United States. End of the fucking story. Don't go into the whole he said, she said. Trump is the president. Trump is the problem.
Right, right.
That's all there is to it.
And you can't
convince people to turn them.
Right, and you can't succumb to frustration. You can't say, God, I can't live like this anymore. We have to get him out now. No. Think about how much more satisfying it will be 2 years plus a little bit from now, to see his ass voted out of office. Voted out by us.
And at the same time, if, and the word if is the biggest word in the world, especially at this moment in history, if the Democrats were to do this the right way and get themselves the majority of the House.
Get in position.
Then you can stop him at every turn.
Right.
And screw up everything that he has planned. That's what you need to do. And nobody is focused, because nobody focused even after 2016 on the 2018 elections. They were all talking about 2020. This is what you call, as you've always said it very eloquently, tripping over your own dick. And that's what the Democrats do, which is another reason why I resigned from the Democratic Party.
Yep.
And consider myself a complete and utter, well, I'm power hungry, and I'm going to give this country an enema when I take over. But and you can mark my words, it's going to happen. So you better lock your damn doors. I'm coming for all of you. There's a job that needs to be done here. The country's best interests are at stake.
Yeah, and there's only one way that goes. I mean, there's only one way we can allow that to go. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a lot to consider and it's a lot to take on, but somebody has to take up the friggin' fight. And it's really irritating me to sit here and watch it not being enjoined. So, yeah, keep it up if you want to keep losing. Now, in the meantime, there are some other things going on. And I want to draw it back local a little bit because we always love to check in on what's going on in New York. But we're going to get even more specific than that because there's something going on in your neighborhood this week that you wanted to talk over. What's up?
Yeah. You know how in New York City, the police are not technically allowed, you know, many ways in certain pockets of Staten Island to do their jobs, to arrest open lawbreakers,
right?
You know, to keep the peace. Well, there was an incident last week at the courthouse right across the street from my apartment. And these people were being let out. Somebody from a ride, it had to do with gang violence. The convicted person was being let out. There was a chase that went right past my apartment, right up to the block where I used to live, right across from our local deli. There's a bed and breakfast there. And a high-speed van chase ensued with the cops in tow. There were, in fact, gunshots exchanged because the gang, of course, came and were shooting at the cops as well. The van takes off, goes after the guy who'd been convicted, and they smashed him right up against the wall of the bed and breakfast, killing him instantly. They did manage to apprehend everybody in that van. But it wasn't the New York City Police Department who were the ones engaged in the gun battle. It was the court officers.
That put an end to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they didn't get to shoot anyone. The cops did come along very quickly right afterwards. Now, about 5 minutes by car, maybe 7 or 8 minutes by foot, down one of the nearby streets, another gun battle erupted between rival gangs, and a 68-year-old grandmother waiting at the bus stop to go visit her family was shot in the face. She's on life support right now. This is what's been happening in my neighborhood because de Blasio will not allow the police to do their jobs. It's bad enough that Tompkinsville Park now has the Guardian Angels patrolling because the cops aren't allowed to arrest the junkies and general scum that are in there. And if you read some of the reactions to, I belong to a group called St. George Neighborhood by the Ferry. All the bleeding heart liberal assholes who say, oh, well, you know, they're people too. No, you don't choose to get cancer. You choose to put a needle in your arm, as somebody very wisely stated.
Yep.
And my argument in that group was, what about the people who have lived in that neighborhood for years, who can't take their kids outside just to enjoy the sunshine because they're afraid of what goes on? And somebody had the temerity to say that their rights aren't mean nothing. The junkies have more rights. You should be rehabbing the junkies. A junkie will only go to rehab because they're going to go to jail. A drug addict who wants help finds the help.
Yeah.
Just like somebody who's, quote, homeless, genuinely homeless, goes to a shelter because they don't want to be on the streets. Everyone else is a bum, a moocher, a criminal, skell, whatever you want to call them, enough kowtowing. It is insanity. But it's happened in my neighborhood and it happened right outside our door. And my wife even said she heard the whole commotion going on. You know, because you can hear the resonance of the gunshots being fired.
Now,
so you knew it wasn't firecraft.
What is the drug? Is it still heroin?
You know what? It's a multitude of things.
Really?
Out there. It's heroin. It's meth. It's a lot of weed. You know, there in New York City now, wherever you walk, there is always a stench of marijuana, and it's really off-putting in the extreme. It really is. And this is all part of de Blasio's New York. Yeah. Interestingly
enough.
Well,
you had me with the last part. I was thinking about moving there, but you know.
You know, goddamn hippie. There you go. Listening to Beatle records, putting on headbands. Well, I was over there slugging it out against Charlie.
Yeah.
Hip deep in the rice patties.
Yeah, that was you pretty much. What were you, 8?
Not even.
Yeah.
Especially the goddamn Beatles were still together. Now, interestingly enough, Dan Donovan, our local representative in Congress, is seeking an investigation into de Blasio because not only was he in trouble with the immigration police because he illegally crossed into Mexico and back into the United States, he used a Department of Homeland Security plane for his vacation to travel to and from Canada.
Oh, jeez. And where exactly did he get a hold of a Department of Homeland Security plane?
I don't know how, and I don't know what excuses he used. But remember, John, this is the mayor who decided it was more important to go to a socialist rally in Germany than be here when a police officer was assassinated while sitting in her patrol car.
Yeah, right.
That's all I have to say. The man is scum. He's equal to Donald Trump in his absolute repulsiveness as an individual.
Well, see, and here's the problem. I mean, for me personally, and I know I'm not the only one, but when I hear stories like this, it bothers me because I have not been a registered anything since I was 22, as far as party affiliation goes. But I make no bones about the fact that I do lean left. So that's fine. And what kills me about guys like de Blasio is that if you are left-leaning at all, you find yourself in a constant battle against the bullshit of the so-called liberal elites. Because let me tell you something. As I sit here in my little town of 10,000 people, I'm not among the elite of anything. But you fight against those stereotypes in the same way that I'm sure the reasonable Republicans you were talking about earlier fight against the stereotype of being racist assholes all the time. And then along comes de Blasio and he embodies it. You know, he just sets himself into that position of being every negative stereotype of the quote unquote liberal elite. It's, you know, it's like when you listen to somebody like Louis Gohmert talk for 5 minutes.
Ugh. God, he's an anus.
Yeah,
holy shit, that guy's a fucking lunatic.
Right.
But I mean, the thing with de Blasio, I mean, even from the get-go, you know, this fucking moron, A, doesn't show up to any of his meetings on time. B, he's the one who put up, you know, these 25 mile an hour, you know, vision, was it Vision Zero laws affecting the speed limits right. in various pockets of New York City. But his what do you call it? His motorcade is always doing like 70.
Right, because you know, it doesn't apply to him.
Right. He's just the biggest hypocritical douchebag in the world. And after Trump, I want to see him get taken down and just I want to see his name drag through the mud because he deserves it. He's a fucking liar and he's a criminal scumbag.
Right. And unfortunately, that's not going to get any better either because he knows he's relatively bulletproof in terms of the mayorship. So we'll see how things go next time around. But in the meantime, you know, here in town, there was an incident that just broke over the last, I don't know, 8-10 hours, something like that. That there are three major universities in St. Louis and a whole bunch of other universities around. I mean, it's a very big college town. We have Washington University, St. Louis University, which is run by the Jesuits. And like I said, there's probably five or six more of the smaller variety that are around town and everybody knows about it. There's also University of Missouri, St. Louis. But WashU is, I don't know if it's the biggest in terms of number of students, but it's one of the top two. And a bunch of kids, incoming freshmen, are already here. So it's middle of July, but they're getting ready for the new school year. And they had some kind of orientation event or something like that. And then they all decided, hey, there's this Metrolink here, which is our, it's not a subway, it's an above ground train for most of it, but it's, that's our train system here. And they said, well, let's hop on these Metrolink trains and we'll go to IHOP and get some late dinner or early breakfast, however college kids are looking at it these days. So they did, and a group of between 6 and 10 of them, all black. And as they were walking from the IHOP back to their Metrolink station, cop cars pulled up. Six of them, six patrol cars pulled up behind these kids. And one of the cops got out and accused them of walking out on their bill, which they did not do. So a bunch of the kids still had their receipts completely filled out on them in their pockets. They stuffed them in their pockets, and they showed the cops. They said, here, look, we paid for our meal. Here's proof. Here's the receipts. The cops made these kids walk all the way back to the restaurant while they trailed them in six patrol cars, forced them to go into the restaurant and stand effectively for a lineup, during which the manager came out and said, no, that's not them. And then the cops made them walk all the way back to the Metrolink station and they got on the train. And I mean, the university is absolutely livid because this is these kids. I mean, they're in from out of town, all of them. This is the first time they've ever been here. Welcome to town, kids. You're black. The cops are going to follow you everywhere you go.
Something's fucked up with the Missouri police.
Oh, yes, there is. You better believe it, brother. I mean, and it's not unusual. That kind of story is not unusual at all. And yet, you know, I mean, when you show the police officers, you see, if they had been a little older, because you got to figure they're 17, 18, they're incoming freshmen.
Right, they're freshmen.
So they don't know yet. But in a similar situation, my thought would be, no, I showed you my receipt. I showed you proof that I paid. So one of two things is going to happen here. Either you're going to arrest me or you're going to let me go and leave me alone. So you make the call, but I'm not this shit about walking back to the restaurant with cops trailing behind me. That's not going to happen.
Those particular props need to be called to the carpet.
And by the way, let me check my own white privilege here for just a second, because I'm not an 18-year-old black kid, and I don't expect any of them to do that because they'd be afraid of getting shot.
That phrase really irks the fuck out of me.
No, but in that case, it's true.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just the fact that it's also the blatant stupidity and outward racistness of the cops.
Works for me. You know? Right. It's horrifying.
It is horrifying. You know, in the meantime, people have to suffer because stupid shit like this happens. Kids don't trust the cops. At the same time, criminals won't be arrested because you don't know if you're crossing the line with the criminals.
Right.
You know, so it's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Exactly. And nobody in any of this, except for the victims in both of these cases that we're talking about, is thinking at all. All you have to do is think. And go, wow, does this make any sense at all? And when you realize, no, it doesn't, stop doing that.
Well, now let's spin it onto the sporting world because, hey, I don't give a fuck that France won the World Cup.
Yeah, neither do I. They immediately surrendered. I don't know if you heard about that. Right after they won the World Cup, they immediately surrendered to Croatia anyway.
I figured as much.
Yeah.
Those garlic stinking yellow fascist bastards, anti-Semites. The fact that England choked on their own collective cock to Croatia made me laugh to no end.
Oh yeah.
My boss, who is English, is a very he's a genuinely funny man. He went down to the nearby bar, invited everybody, drinks were on him, blah blah blah, to watch the game. I didn't go because I didn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. It's fucking soccer.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about the beautiful sport. Put on a pair of fucking skates and man up, you bunch of bitches. That's a man's sport.
Yep.
Anyway, he goes down to the bar, and I'm trying to, you know, catch glimpses of what's happening, and, you know, and the fact that I hear the sound of choking, you know, in the, what was it, the 109th minute?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because they were well into extra time. And how do you get into extra time with no score and then lose the game 2-1?
How do you fuck that up? Right. He knows how. But he comes back and he's smiling. I mean, he's drunk as fuck, but he's smiling and he comes back and he's singing that song that all those old timers from England sing, even though he's younger than me. And he's doing the whole joke of, it's coming home, football's coming. No, it's not.
Yeah.
And then he just stops right there. And it was brilliant. Nobody got it. I did. I thought it was hilarious. I said, you guys are going to be talking about 1966 for another 4 years, huh?
Yeah, right. Well, while all of this is going on, of course, what else is happening in France? The Tour de France, which I'm equally unimpressed with. I don't care.
Just put on Bicycle Race by Queen and have
fun. There you go. There you go.
I don't give a shit. Bicycle. You know what I feel about bicyclists? Every one of them that I see in New York, I want to take a bat. You know how you drive up and down the road and you knock, mailboxes?
Yeah.
That's what I want to do with bicyclists. They go by, boom, boom, boom.
Or just, you know, broomsticks would be fine. You know, just hamstring them and woo, or clothesline them.
Oh, God, yes.
Either way.
Brilliant. You're a genius.
Hey, I do my best. Speaking of hitting people with bats, how about that Trey Gowdy, huh?
Is it my imagination or does he look like an uncircumcised penis? There's no disconnect between the head and neck. There's just all that flap, that fucking bullet head of his with the weirdo, yeah, I'm a retard hairdo.
Yeah, you
know?
Right.
I'm just waiting for him to start going gaba, 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 you know?
Like in
Freaks.
Right. I seriously want to know what he was doing between playing the banjo in Deliverance and being elected to Congress. There's a big gap there. I'm not sure what he was up to.
What a fucking hammerhead.
I know.
I don't know who was worse, him or that Gomert Pyles. You know? My favorite was, I'm a dentist and I can read body language.
Yeah, really? Right.
Usually dentists are the first one tagged for rape, so don't get me started.
Yeah, right. Keep your laughing gas away from me, buddy. Now, exactly. Back to sports, though, because you mentioned something. You mentioned being on skates and that being a real man sport. What a terrible story this week, and headlining our sad goodbyes section, by the way. Yeah, Raymond Emery. Razor. I mean, this guy, you know, he was not anybody's idea of an all-star goalie, but he had his own style. And I remember, first of all, I mean, he played for the Flyers and then came back to the Flyers late in his career. And he had
the Stanley Cup finals with the Senators.
Right.
The Ottawa Senators.
Exactly. Yeah. He was with Ottawa. He was with the Blackhawks for a while. He was so identifiable. You could put no numbers on the guy and just, you know, throw him out there with a blank jersey and you would know that it was Ray Emery by the aggressive style of play. He was a goaltender's goaltender. He was always entertaining to watch. And he could, you know, from time to time really stand on his head and amaze you with his skill as a goaltender. Drowned in Lake Michigan over the weekend at age 35. And I mean, what a stunner out of nowhere. And they said, I guess he just went out too far or may have gotten caught in some kind of current or something and just went under and never came back up.
Have they found him yet?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Okay. Did he leave behind any family?
I'm pretty sure he was married. I don't know that they had any kids.
I mean, I just remember him being a nightmare for the Rangers.
Yeah, right.
He was the goalie that they didn't want to face when they played the Flyers, who at that point were kind of middling.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
But yeah, that was very sad to read this morning.
Yep.
Very, very sad.
Tremendous player. So, but yeah, he had been, you know, up and down into the minors a couple of times over the course of his career doing rehab assignments and stuff, but always was solid. And like I said, just fun to watch. So, sad to hear that. But, you know, he was, there were some things going on and moves being made. And, you know, with as much talking as we've done about the Mets and about how they're underperforming. Disasters. Yeah, I was going to be kind and say underperforming.
Not diplomatic. No. This show, real talk.
Exactly. But the Cardinals have been lousy too. And in fact, you know, the Cardinals dealt with a lot of injuries mid-season. Certainly Yadier Molina being first and foremost among them, getting hit in the balls literally and not recovering well from that. But he's back and he's playing at full speed. But, you know, there was just that idea that even when they were dealing with injuries, they weren't even performing up to the level of a team that's having struggles. They just look lousy and listless. And the decisions that were being made from the manager's office didn't make any sense. So since Matheny didn't defend himself and didn't acquit himself very well with the team on the field, they decided over the weekend to just let him go mid-season. Consensus was that if they didn't make the playoffs, he was going to be gone at the end of the year, but they didn't want to wait.
Well, it's interesting because the Washington Nationals, who are touted every year, are less than mediocre. They're a 500 club.
Yeah.
You know, they just got clobbered 2 out of 4 games by the Mets, believe it or not. They split the series, and they're – you want to talk about a listless team that's – even Bryce Harper, who I know people have their problems with him. I personally like him. I have no beefs with him. I think he's a great ball player. This is his contract year. And he's doing nothing to earn the big deal he should be getting because he's playing worse than a little leaguer. You know, he looks completely baffled at routine fly balls. You know, there were many, many times when Gary, Keith, and Ron were saying during the weekend, what was he thinking? Look, there are going to be a lot of axes falling, especially within the next week or 2 weeks. You know, you've got the All-Star break happening now. You've got the trade deadline coming up. Shit's going down.
Right. Well, and with Matheny, and he never really gelled that well with the fans as a manager. I mean, certainly there are a lot of people around town who still love him as a player, but his demeanor was so different from La Russa, and the fact that he could come off as being a little bit recalcitrant in the press conferences. I mean, that's the stuff you can get away with if you're managing the Mets or the Nationals. But here in the middle of the country, if that's your attitude and you're the Cardinals manager and you won't tell the fans why you made a certain switch or something like that, they're going to hate you forever.
Well, now let's spin it onto something else, because I just watched Mickey Callaway almost every day be over his head. Uh-huh. And he's a nice guy, but he hasn't got a clue. That's what stuns me, because he came out of the chute saying all the right things, pressing all the right buttons, and the minute the Matt Harvey thing happened, it's like the dominoes all fell simultaneously, pure and simple. And that should not have been a distraction, because he wasn't even a factor. He wasn't pitching well. Put him in the bullpen, didn't want to go to the bullpen, send him to the minors, refuses the minors, you release him. End of discussion.
Right.
Happened 1,000 times before. Why is it all of a sudden now the cancer has spread throughout the team?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, the book is closed on the Mets, and, you know, I've abandoned ship for the rest of the year, and that's that. Now, let's talk about something that infuriates everybody, and rightfully so. False reporting, fake news, CNN.
Yeah.
I put a story out last week that Drake, also known as Aubrey Graham, a Jewish kid from Toronto who to me will always be Jimmy, the cripple from Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Yep.
Drake put out 7 singles, and I'm using the words in quotation marks, even though people can't see me, but you can, to say that he had beaten the Beatles' record of having the top 5 slots in the top 10. That is as far from the truth as possible. There's absolutely nothing accurate in that report. First of all, if you don't know your history, look it up. The Beatles had the top 5 spots in, what was it, March of 1964.
Yep.
On 4 different labels. You know, 2 on Capitol, 1 on VJ, 1 on Tolly, which was a sub-label of VJ, and 1 on Swan.
Okay.
Okay. The top 5 spots were all occupied by the Beatles. Different singles, physical 45s with a song on one side and a different song on the other, that people had to go to the store and buy. Because this is how you registered sales for the charts. Drake's record company released 7 songs from his new album onto the charts for download. These are not singles,
right, people. Not only that, they were released on the same day.
And they were released on the same day. This is a fallacy, okay? And then you got a couple of douchebags out there who are going to try and argue this. Well, what's the matter? You know, different generation. No. It's called report the facts accurately.
Different game. You can't compete against somebody in a different game.
And there will never be anybody that will ever occupy the top 5 spots in a row by the strength of physical sales. It doesn't happen.
Right.
Period. The Beatles are the history makers. Drake is a gadfly of the moment. You know, he'll be forgotten in a couple of years. You know, the generations don't pay much attention to anything, but God damn it, if you're going to report something, be accurate. And this is why I despise and don't trust the media. Fake news. It's fake news. And the reporter for CNN, whoever she was, should be ashamed of herself for being an asshole. But it's like, you know, they don't want to hire people to do the job the right way.
Right. Well, I mean, even if you ask people who are fans of Drake, I'm sure if you said, okay, so compare him to the early, not like they would have any frame of reference for the early part of the Beatles career, but still, none of them is going to go, oh yeah, he's way better than that. I mean, you just can't. Now, on the subject of false reporting, let me switch back to sports for just a second here, because something fascinating has gone on in the last 7 days that deals with something near and dear to my heart because it's my Buffalo Bills. So about a week ago, I was just agape at the fact that LaShawn McCoy had been accused of beating up his girlfriend. And I mean, we've seen this happen so many times. And I mean, we saw the video with Ray Rice. So it's not certainly out of the question, but he just... this is going to sound stupid, and it probably is, but he just didn't seem the type. You know what I mean? LaShawn McCoy, for all of the great play on the field, never came off as the angry guy. Ray Rice was never soft and cuddly. You know what I mean? And it's not that one necessarily equates to the other, but some people you just can't see it with. So all of a sudden, he's accused of beating up his girlfriend, breaking into her house, trying to steal back a bunch of jewelry. And all of this goes on, and the NFL is investigating, which they should, and the police are investigating, which they should. But from the beginning, it was pretty clear that LaShawn McCoy, first of all, was a state and a half away, and whether there was any direct involvement by him in the burglary, whether he, you know, told somebody to go do it, there just wasn't any evidence of that. So now, the latest, you know, breaking news on this from just the last day or two is that now his girlfriend is, quote unquote, unsure of whether he was involved. The woman making the allegations, who, you know, stepped in and tried to ruin a guy's career, is now unsure whether he was involved or not. Seems like you should have led with that.
What have we talked about before?
Yep.
It's coming home to roost. And it's going to keep sweltering. It's the snowball effect. You're going to see more and more and more of it. And you know what? I don't feel sorry for anybody except the accused.
Yeah.
Because now you can't trust the accusers. You
right.
can't. And especially just on the premise alone of all you had to say was he was a state and a half away. I'm sorry. This is bullshit.
Yeah. He was in Miami. She was in Atlanta. And I know, I mean, you know, if you don't know the geography on that, that drive is about 8 hours each way. It's five or six to get out of Florida.
Much as we would like to, we can't transmogrify nor teleport. I don't care if you have Doc Brown's time machine. You're still and able to commit the crime and do it all. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that it's just craziness. And yet, you know, the good news for LaShawn McCoy, I guess, and for the Bills is that he didn't have to worry about it. And he knew that he wasn't involved and he didn't have to worry about it. So I guess there's a certain comfort that comes with it.
Man's name has been dragged through the mud like this, though.
Right.
That's the appalling part.
Right.
She went out of her way now to destroy a man's livelihood and subsequently his life.
Yep.
Well, you commit those kind of crimes, you have to do the time for it.
Right.
You know, get her on perjury, you know, filing a false report, you name it. That's it. That's called law, the right way.
Right.
You know? But now, more importantly, John, what are you doing to help make Kylie Jenner billionaire. Because, you know, the poor little cunt doesn't have enough money.
If I had my druthers, I would do absolutely nothing. If I've accidentally spent money that I didn't know went into her pocket, I am heartily sorry.
I would like to see whoever the dickhead at Forbes magazine who came up with this.
Self-made woman.
Be beaten. I want him clubbed like a baby seal.
Yeah.
I like baby seals. I don't like reporters. Fake news. Fake news. On this show, you get real talk.
Exactly.
Real talk. And speaking of douchebag millionaires, Papa John.
Oh, yeah. John Schnatter.
Cock gobbler in a shitty cardboard pizza. I equate him as being only a half rung above the shark fucker, that Jimmy John's prick.
Yeah, Jimmy John's guy, right?
But this fucking guy, I'm glad he's been finally being dragged through the mud for being an asshole. Because he's always been an asshole. And as much as I hate the New York Yankees and I hate their fans and everything about them, I hate their fucking uniform. I hate the way they have that weird NY on their caps. I am so glad that they canceled their contract with Papa John's in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, I actually saw something on Facebook that made me laugh the other day. Somebody posted up and they said, if you started hating John Schnatter because of the racist allegations, you've obviously never tried his pizza. I was like, yeah, okay. That makes a lot of sense. What a schmuck.
I would just assume, oh, God, help me for saying this because I am a New Yorker. So this is like saying Jesus wasn't a Jew. So it's complete heresy. But I would just as soon order a Domino's than go to fucking Papa John's.
Oh, I know. It's
so bad. You understand
so
the context in which that was said.
Yeah.
So, you know.
How do you take something that's that bready, and not in a good way, how do you take something that's that bready and make it that fucking soggy in the middle? I don't understand the physics of that.
Papa John's pizzas are essentially the same kind of bready dreck you expect when you go to Subway. But at least Subway is a fucking sandwich.
Right. But when you pick up a piece of that, all the first thing it does is just meh. It just fold bends and
meh. What it is it's an aphorism for what's going to happen after you eat this shit. You're going to vomit.
Yes. Yes, exactly. You're going to puke all of your toppings back down onto the plate. It's just terrible. So, yeah, I'm glad he's going away. I wish there were such a thing as a jail sentence for pizza that bad.
Well, there is a mafia.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And they wouldn't be impressed.
And he's fucking around with the Italians. And, you know, they do not take well to that kind of shit.
Wait, you mean Schnatter's not an Italian name?
I don't think so, John.
It was shortened at Ellis Island from Schnatterini.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds a little bit on the Germanic side.
Yeah, just a little bit.
You know? And you know how those people are, the Weisse angle and all that.
Uh-huh.
They invented Nazis.
Well, the other weird thing about it was, and granted, for a guy who was as old as he was, who grew up and lived his entire life in Kentucky, it wouldn't be beyond the realm of possibility for him to throw that word around a lot and not really think very much of it. But I had never heard anybody say, oh, you know, Colonel Sanders used to throw the N-word around all the time. Really? He did? I don't remember that piece of the story.
Me neither. And plus, he's dead.
Yeah, he right. We can't ask him.
You see him on the commercials nowadays?
Oh, yeah, the new colonels every week or whatever?
Exactly. I'm sorry. I want somebody to shoot all of those colonels, except for Reba McEntire.
Yeah, we can leave Reba alone. And probably right. Gaffigan. We can keep Gaffigan hanging out.
Yeah, kind of. He's all right, you know. But Norm MacDonald, I can't stand him. Who's the other fucking idiot from Saturday Night Live? The guy who used to – Daryl Hammond.
Oh, yeah. Right.
George Hamilton, he's too fucking old. Go away.
And he's still that tan. How does he do that? I'm not that tan.
He's cryogenically frozen.
Yeah, it's freezer burn. It's not a tan anymore. Oh, that's crazy. We got to get into a little into the musical front here because there was something that I also ran across. And in fact, I didn't run across it as much as we were taking apart the publicists and that industry last week on the show. Every so often you run into somebody who does it right. And we have raved about Sharon Jones and the Daptones. We've raved about Daptone Records. We've raved about the kind of thing that they're doing.
But they're still going. After losing both Charles Bradley and Sharon Jones, you've got your two biggest artists who are deceased.
Right. And
how are you going to keep going? You know, is the first question, but yet they are.
Right. And they sent out a press release earlier this week for Charles Bradley's recording of What You're Doing to Me, which is coming out on vinyl on a 45, which I absolutely love. And there's a couple of different editions of it. You can get just a regular black vinyl 45 for, I think it's $6 or something like that. Or you can get one that's chosen for you from a rainbow of multicolored ones that they'll just pick whichever one and send it to you. And that's an extra dollar. So that's $6.99. But that song, I don't remember if it was the last one that he recorded, but they did specify that he got to hear the song before he died, that he got to hear a finished version of it, the same one that's on that 45 before he died. And he really liked it. And there's a lot to like it. The song is called What You Doing to Me, and it's fantastic. And the production on it, even on the sonically inferior MP3 that they had to send over, is just amazing. And again, what a voice. And somebody who, like Sharon Jones, started singing. He had a much longer career than she did, but he started singing not as a young man. He was not an 18-year-old rock star walking out of school. Yeah. You know, and sang well into his late 60s and, you know, gone now. But man, this latest single from Charles Bradley is just an ass kicker.
As much as I hate everything about Brooklyn, the place that I was born, the only good thing about it has been the Daptone universe, because they've brought back something that has been sorely missing. They've brought back the feel. They've brought back, there's a genuineness in everything that they have done.
Yeah.
That the closest I can equate them with is not Motown, but with Stax and with High, because it's just pure, raw, gutsy, emotional soul music.
Right, and I was just about to say they brought back the soul.
What the definition of the word soul means when it comes to soul music. And everything that Daptone has done, I commend them, I applaud them, I support them. And their publicity staff, kudos to them for doing the job that the way. And I'm more than sure that these are people who don't make all that much money, because it's obviously not a greatly funded organization. But the fact is, the people that are there are professionals.
And they care.
And they know the music. The people that continue to send me garbage, especially these garbage emails, I'm going to start nuking them now, because I've just had my fill. I have no interest in even entertaining looking at these emails when you can't address it to me by my first name.
Right.
That's obnoxious. It's irresponsible. It's insulting. And you are fucking crazy if you think I'm going to do anything for any of your artists. You're cutting your artists' throats.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's a sad state of affairs. But again, thank you so much to Daptone for sending this one over and for putting it out on vinyl. I just think it's a great thing. And I'd love to see this really become sort of their signature, because like I said, they do care about what they're doing. They care about the music and they care about the mission. So I'm looking forward to seeing who it is. If they survive long enough, I want to know who it is that they're going to uncover next, who should have been a household name for 50 years. You know what I mean?
Or at least somebody young that they can actually help grow.
Right.
You know, and not lose, you know, not lose to some bigger label, which is a joke in and of itself. Now on the musical front next week, you and I are going to talk about the new album, Shadowlong, from Django Haskins. On the heels of last week's conversation about the track Snakes in the Seaweed.
Yes.
You know, if you thought that was good, the album is going to put a boner in your musical senses. Okay? So you're going to love it. So you're going to digest it over the span of the week, because the review will be up on Pop Dose this Wednesday, along with the exclusive premiere for the video of Bling.
So, nice.
Yeah, you're going to have yourself a very good week with Mr. Haskins' new album. I can tell you that right now. So that, my friend, brings us to the In Our Heads segment of this week's episode of Radio City.
Oh, there is one more quick thing before we get to In Our Heads. I will tell a little bit of this story, and next week we'll tell more of it once I finally get to see the movie. But turned on the TV this morning, and everybody on the morning news shows was talking about this movie, Sorry to Bother You, which deals with race and, I mean, it's a comedy, but there's, it's one of those, it's a thoughtful comedy, at least from the part of it that we got to see, which I'll get to in a second. But Patton Oswalt, it's about these guys who work for a boiler room, you know, making phone calls and trying to generate sales and all of this shit. And they're black. And one of the older guys, who's played by Danny Glover, he's telling them that if you want to increase your sales, you have to adopt a white persona and do a white voice. And the white voices are overdubbed over top of these guys, which is absolutely hilarious. And it's Patton Oswalt and David Cross. So, I mean, that part of it is great. But here's the problem is that as we were in the theater getting ready to watch the movie, my lovely bride and I could hear outside the deluge. We were thinking about looking for gopher wood and trying to figure out what the fuck a cubit is. And you know, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the screen went dark. Curiously enough, the sound stayed going for a little while, for about another minute or so. And then all of a sudden it went off too, and the emergency lights came on inside the theater. We got a nasty lightning strike, and it took out power to everything. So I got to see the first 20 minutes of the movie. Now, I understand now, even though I don't know what it is, that there's some kind of twist ending, you know, that it takes, well, not even a twist ending. It's not like an M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong thing. The movie takes a left turn. Shit.
Every one of his movies are shit.
Oh, I know.
You can see something a mile away.
Right. But this one just turns from what you think it is into something totally different. I just have no frame of reference because it hadn't gotten to that part yet. So what I can say is of what I've saw, I would recommend it, but I have no idea what the rest of the movie is like.
Well, let's see. Now you're going to have to bring us the conclusion to this mystery.
Right. So we'll do that on our next get together because we were able to get some passes out of them to go see the movie again. Because that's by the way, that's one of the things about MoviePass that is interesting to note is that not only can you only see one movie a day, which for $10 a month is not really a bitch. It's just that's how the service works. One movie a day for $10 a month. But you can't see the same movie twice. With your movie pass. See, I could pay to go see it again, but we paid with movie pass, so we had to get passes to go see the movie again.
It was an act of God.
Yes, indeed. So we'll go into that next week on the show. But anyway, back to In Our Heads, because it's all yours this week, Rob.
Yeah, you know, actually, we're continuing on with a theme that we hit upon last week, and we were talking about binge-watching television shows.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, you know, because there's a lot of stuff on. And in those moments when it's just absolutely quiet and you've got hours to kill, you're flipping through and you're looking and you're seeing shows that, you know, it's been a while since I've seen that. I think I want to watch it again. And you start to watch and you go, I don't want to watch this. So I realized, and this is a two-pronged question for
okay.
you. One, are there shows that you loved when it was first on the air and were passionate about that now if you try to watch it, you just can't do it. You can't even begin to bring yourself to do it. It's like I've got a couple that are right off the bat and probably aren't that surprising. And second, a lot of the shows that we talked about are in their sophomore seasons or even their third seasons.
Yeah.
Somehow you sit there and you're watching and going, I'm not feeling this. You know, it's something's not right. It's like they've forgotten what the whole premise of the show was. In the transition between season 2 and 3, are there shows that you're finding that you're not so sure you're going to stick with once the season ends?
Yeah.
So now I'm going to turn it over to you. You tell me what you think.
Okay. Well, as far as, first of all, the old TV, the stuff that I watched when I was a kid, it's funny you should bring that up because I was flipping channels on the antenna side of the TV today, and all of the TV stations now have 4 or 5 different channels, you know, digital channels, and a lot of them do nothing but run old stuff. In fact, there's a channel called Antenna TV that runs old TV shows, and Comet runs a bunch of old, you know, 50s movies and stuff.
Yep.
And
they brought back the Monkees. They were the first ones. The Monkees, the Flying Nun, Gidget, the Partridge Family. You know, things like that. Here Come the Brides. I mean, they really got it. Now,
you know,
there's also a channel called Me Too.
Yeah.
And they moved that all the way up the tier. That's in the main tier of broadcasts.
Oh, that's cool. And that should have happened. Yeah. But yeah, we see when they bring back Blansky's Beauties, we will have all had it. So
I'm not touching that. Nancy, what's her name?
Yeah, they were from the Palmolive commercials, right?
The Bounty. Nancy Walker.
Nancy Walker, right.
Bounty lady.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she wasn't the You're Soaking In It lady, was she? Well, either way.
That's Madge.
That's right.
There should be commercials.
Yeah, but I flipped it on today, and I got to Antenna TV, and what was on? What's Happening? Ugh. Yeah, exactly. And I loved that show. And it's funny, because there's a connection back to... let me go in and explore this territory for half a second. While we were getting ready to watch the movie over the weekend, sorry to bother you, all of the previews that they showed were for quote-unquote black movies. So we didn't, I mean, it's stuff, if we had gone to see any other movie, we never would have seen previews for. And I started thinking about that when I was watching What's Happening Today, and it really does not hold up. It was an episode that I remembered watching from back when I was 7 years old. But, you know, I wonder if we had had anywhere near the kind of choice in television then that we have now, if a show like What's Happening or, you know, a show like Good Times, which was a much better TV show, if we ever would have even seen them, you know, if they would have been marketed to us, or if in suburban Buffalo, you know, that those shows would have just been something that the urban kids watched.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, anything under the Norman Lear banner was always going to be scrutinized.
Right. Yeah, true. So,
because you watch, if you were, not to interrupt you, but if you watch an episode of All of the Family Today, some of it could be seen as semi-relevant. The other of it just doesn't hold up well because it was of its time.
Right. Right. And that's the problem with a lot of those shows is that, you know, even things like, and as much as I hate to say it because it was so, so brilliant and cutting edge, but I see Soap now and go, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, right, yep. This show, sure.
Right. I mean, most of those shows now I can't be bothered with. Now, certain things that we watched as children, I mean, things like the Flintstones and the Bugs Bunny cartoons, I'll watch them if I ever spot them.
Oh, yeah. Know? Yeah, sure.
That's eternal. I will always watch the Monkees and the Munsters. I own them because I love them that much. I'll watch the episodes of MASH that run up until the time that Radar left because it really did lose. Don't ask me why, but it lost something that really could never be captured, and yet it managed to plod on for 4 more years and was just excruciating. Well, I start to think that that's where the seeds of political correctness may have been first planted.
Were you the one that told me it was when BJ grew a mustache?
No.
I was having that conversation with somebody.
But once Radar was gone, there was nothing funny about the show anymore whatsoever. I don't think I saw one episode that was worth remembering after he was gone.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I can go back and watch. But more contemporary things, like I can't watch Mad Men.
Really?
I can't watch The Wire. I can't watch Oz. That's
you know what?
Well, and I think I've, you know, already spent my time watching The Sopranos enough that I never want to see it again.
Yeah,
I don't think I could watch Breaking Bad. You know, it was good for the first one. It's not something I want to revisit.
Uh huh. Right. Well, oddly enough, and not probably for the reasons that you're thinking of, but yeah, there is another one, and it's a show that I really loved at the time for a lot of reasons, not the least of which was there was always fantastic music in it, was House. And the reason I can't watch it now is because I remember them all. I mean, we watched them week by week. Binging wasn't a thing yet, so we watched them. But we watched that show without fail every week. And so it's like my dad with Star Trek. If I watch the first 3 minutes, I can tell you what the disease was and what happens. So there's no point. It's not a fun ride anymore because we're not getting to anything I'm going to learn.
I think also with a lot of these shows, certainly like with Mad Men, I was really disappointed with the way it ended.
Yeah, and House, you know, too. He should have died.
You know, and instead, you know, they deflate you.
Yep.
And that's the part that I don't care for. So I wouldn't go back and watch them. Now, as far as newer shows that are still on and that we're still watching, what's your take on some of the, have you found anything that's kind of putting you off from where you had been previously a champion of it?
Not really, but we're not watching a whole lot of series TV on on you know, regular television anymore. Most of the series that we're watching are on Amazon or on Netflix or whatever. So we're just going through them at our own pace. And I'm trying to think if there's anything that really kind of lost its shine. Most of them are fairly okay. And I don't know if there's anything that we were watching that I just sort of fell away from, not at least in the last couple of years, but let me think a little bit more on it and maybe I'll come up with one or two. What are yours?
Well, definitely that show Preacher. It's the third season. Yep. And now it's just gotten into this kind of nebulousness that kind of started last season. And I thought, you know, this story arc is not exactly where the show should be going.
Uh-huh.
It's boring is what it is. That's the word I'm looking for. Now, there's a show I was telling you about on TNT called Claws, which was very funny last year, but already now it's veering into just plain stupid territory.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're being too cartoony. There's the subtlety of how to use humor and when to use it, and then there's just being over the top and ridiculous about it all.
Yeah, okay. You know which one we lost out on, or just, you know, just lost interest in, was The Handmaid's Tale. And I know everybody else in the world loves it and thinks it's the best thing on TV. And we watched two or three of them and went, you know, we just kind of looked at each other and went, eh.
My wife said it best. She said it was a meh kind of book. The movie was horrible. And she goes, and this has absolutely nothing to offer. So okay. She kept it short, sweet, and to the point. So yeah, I mean, I just find myself becoming a little bit more, you know, my eyebrow of you know, you must be joking.
Yeah.
Has been raised a lot more often now when I watch some of the shows that I have been watching. I mean, Animal Kingdom is on its third season and I'm so about it. And that's not great. That's a lousy feeling because the whole thing is, like when we were kids, you know, you look forward to a particular show every week, you know? I get jazzed up when I know that there's going to be a new episode of Salvage Dogs on the DIY network.
Yeah, right. You know, there's a couple of things on Pluto. Not the planet, by the way, but Pluto Television, it's a TV app like that, but it's live TV. And they have some streaming stuff available too, but, and it's all free, which is the greatest thing about it. But they've got a 24/7 Mystery Science Theater 3000 channel, a 24/7 Riff Tracks channel, but they have all this weird shit. Do you have a 4K TV?
No.
Okay. We jumped into that a few years ago because of one of the Christmas deals, and we got in on it real cheap, and it's a really nice TV, but almost nobody broadcasts anything in 4K. But Pluto has a 4K channel. Now, that's cool because we finally get to see the capabilities that the TV has, and it's amazing. I mean, it's not 3D, but every image that they show on that thing in 4K looks like you could walk right into it. So that's great. But it's not anything. I mean, they don't show shows. What they do is they'll show a 4K broadcast of a guy, not even people so much, but just scenes of things, like scenes of the Alps or, you know, these large sweeping vistas or lakesides. And it looks real cool, but it's not a show. And they also have one they have a channel that's 24 hours, 7 days a week of cat antics. That's weird. But the one.
Watch that.
Yeah, see, there's nothing wrong with it. But the one that I think is probably the strangest is there's one that's called Slow TV. And they will take feeds of things like in Norway. There's a 24-hour, 7-day channel that's nothing but views from the train as it goes back and forth across Norway. And they'll show stuff like that. You know, it's almost akin to the old video, the VHS tapes that they had of the fire going, you know, for people who didn't have fireplaces. It is the strangest thing, but it's oddly compelling.
Oh, look, if you want to watch, you know, the scenes across the fjords.
Right.
When you said Norway, I thought churches burning because of, you know, black metal.
Yeah, right.
That's where I was going.
Another, well, you know, maybe a fjord, maybe a Chrysler, who knows?
Wow.
It had to be said.
Wow. You just managed to take the whole show that was filled with the burst, you know, with jizz and ectoplasm everywhere, and you just shrimped it.
Yep.
Congratulations for pissing on the charcoals.
Hey.
Oh, motherfucker.
I do what I can for you. But yeah, I mean, with episodic TV, the one good thing I will give to Netflix and Amazon and the rest of them is that when they do these TV seasons of original programming, they're short. There's 6 episodes, 8 episodes, maybe 10 at the outside. They don't do 22 episode seasons. They don't give it a chance to wear. Now, that's good in a way that, you know, they can keep the story going, but there's also a pain in the ass about it in that you get 6 episodes in, you get really interested, and then now it's like, shit, I got to wait till next year to continue this.
And hopefully the same people will be able to be, regathered to create another series worth, because they may go on to other jobs.
Yep. Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton's done 3 or 4 of these now. Different shows, you know, starting with Fargo and then going through. So I guess Goliath is his latest one, and I think he did that one for Amazon.
I don't think they're bringing back Fargo, because I've heard nothing about it.
No, yeah, they did 2 seasons, and he was on the first one, but yeah, it's been a little while.
It was 3 seasons.
Oh, yeah, you're right, they did a third.
Because this last one with Ewan McGregor was very so-so.
Yep. Yeah, maybe that's why I only gave him 2. I wasn't counting that one in my head.
Well, there you go. Certainly led to the breakup of his marriage after 25 years, although somehow they probably were having problems. But that's enough. I don't get into celebrity scandal.
That's right. That's not my
bag. We don't do that here. We shame celebrities. That's our job.
Not your weekly gossip rag, yes.
Right. And we'll shame you if you get in our way. So don't fucking cross me. Right?
Exactly.
See?
Hey,
We're nice. We're affable, but just don't fuck with us, retard.
Speaking of TV series, you watch Letterkenny yet or what?
Back the fuck up, Luke. Holy shit.
I'm going to stay on your ass until you watch that show.
I'm going to get a bat, and I'm coming through that goddamn screen. You know, it's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to come out in 4K and just, I'm going to do a fucking Robert De Niro as Al Capone.
Uh-huh. I got you, man.
Goddamn show. Holy shit, man.
I'm telling you. You're going to love it. And then you'll come to me and go, you were right the whole time. I don't know why I ever questioned you.
It's not that I'm questioning you. It's Canadian. It's against my principles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Oh, we'll see.
Oh, he's hitting me with the mm-hmm. Okay.
This hey, at least more. I didn't tell you to talk to the hand.
Listen, watch your step, Jew. I know where you people hang out.
That's right.
See that, folks? We took a show that started out with guns a-blazing because we were so filled with anger over what happened today, and we made you laugh.
All right.
And if you didn't laugh, I'm going to kick you in the balls till you can't breathe.
One last quick one on TV, and then we'll get with the In Our Heads thing. We'll get back to the music next week. But what about a TV series that you know about that you have never found anybody else who knows about it, and you just love it?
Seems to me nobody paid attention to Quarry.
Yeah, I didn't.
That's the most recent one that I can think of. You know, it even took my wife a while to get into it. I, of course, went gaga when I heard that it was shot in Memphis circa 1972.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, supposed to be set in Memphis in 72. The fact that big star music was in it from episode 1 onward, forget it. You had me at the opening credits.
Yep. Right.
The fact that they went out of their way to make it look as authentic as possible, I love that. Right down to the details of when he pulls out a copy of Otis Blue, even though I noticed it was actually the Sundays mono reissue on the actual vinyl because I could tell the label. But the fact that it had everything else in the right place on the album cover itself, kudos to them.
Yeah.
But it just seems like Quarry is the only show that I got into and nobody else picked up on. But again, that's most recent. I'm sure there are things in the back of my mind. Look, nobody watched Quark when that was on.
Oh, what a great show.
Notice we always fall back on Quark.
Yeah.
It must be the Dick Benjamin, you know, Barnstable twins thing.
But see, I spent so much time watching television back then that there was very little that escaped my notice. And I always tell people about this, and I have never yet found one person who knew the show organically. I'd find some who, after I showed them a bit or two of it, they'd go, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that. But back in about 1980 or 81, there was a show on called No Soap Radio. and they might have done a half a season. It might have been like 6 or 7 shows that aired, and it was the most bizarre sketch comedy. Clearly, it was an American show, not an English show, but it clearly had roots in Fawlty Towers and Monty Python's Flying Circus and all of that. And a few of the bits were just absolutely classic. And yet, try to find somebody who watched that show first run. And I remember sitting there as an 11-year-old going, this is hilarious. And I still love it.
There are shows that are still in my head that nobody watched, and for good reason, but they were on. There was a show called Open All Night in 1981.
Okay.
On ABC in primetime. And it starred George D'Zunza as the convivial owner of a convenience store. The great Susan Tyrell played his wife.
Okay.
They had this complete mongoloid who looks like the kid on the porch in Deliverance as her son. There was a character on the show named Larry Bud, which is
interesting.
Where I think this is long before Calvin DeForest came along.
Yeah,
by the way, and Bubba Smith was like the buddy who would also come in and work a couple of shifts.
Yes. Yeah, I knew it was getting there. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you said Bubba Smith. Right. I remember that show. And you're right. It didn't last more than a season.
Saturday nights on ABC.
Yes.
Oh, but I also remember the TV version of Breaking Away with Sean Cassidy.
Yeah. All right. Short-lived as it was.
Yep.
There was another one, going back to Good Times, or not Good Times, the other one, What's Happening. Shirley Hemphill, right after that show, right after What's Happening died, they cast her as a cab driver who inherits a Wall Street firm from some guy that used to be a farer of hers. It was a show called One in a Million, and nobody has seen this thing. They aired 4 of them. I think they shot 6 and they aired 4 before it was canceled. But the only reason why I remember this show is A, I was home at the time, and B, the old guy who died, who you never saw as part of the show. You know, the first episode was she was being told that he had died and left her the company, but his name was my name. His name is Jonathan Grayson. So I was like, well, I guess I should watch this show then. And then, of course, it was gone in 4 weeks.
There was another one. Let's go, I hate to say it, but back in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
Right? Although I think it lasted maybe more than one season. But there was a show on NBC with Dom DeLuise called Lots of Luck.
Yes, I remember that one too.
Bus driver.
Yep.
Which was hysterical. And I'm going to throw this one at you. On Friday nights on CBS, there was a black version of MASH called Rollout.
Nope, that one you got me with. That one I don't remember.
Stu Gilliam and Hilly Hicks.
Okay.
As the two main antagonists.
I've got some work to do. I got to go back and watch some old TV. That sounds great.
I'm telling you, man, that if you can find an episode. I loved that show, and somehow, of course, it never got traction. I think mainly because it was on Friday night. Friday nights was always the death knell for everybody.
Right.
Friday night is when you have shit like Battle for the Network Stars.
Yeah, because everybody's all going out on it's date night.
Right. The only show that ever gained anything was Dallas, of all things. And that's when Friday night became viable.
Yeah, wasn't Dukes of Hazzard also a Friday night?
Yep, but that was on right before Dallas.
Okay, right. So, yeah, that was the lead-in.
That was, 8 o'clock, and then came Dallas, and 10 o'clock were – there were several different shows, and then Falcon's Breasts appeared in 1980 or 81 because it was the ripoff of both Dynasty, which was a ripoff of Dallas.
Right. Right, yeah, they were all the same show.
I watched Dynasty. Hell, I even watched the Colbys for 5 minutes.
All I remember about that era is that a friend of mine in school, when he was a little baby, his babysitter was Victoria Principal. And he told us that and showed us pictures of her holding him, and we were all just completely in awe.
She was smoking.
Huh? Oh, yes, she was. All right, man. Well, I think we've done all the damage to this topic we can do, but there's so much else to spin off of.
Testify. Well done. Spin up. Nice. Very nice plan. Well, you're on fire. You're on fuego.
Well, I had to recover from that joke earlier, so.
Yeah, good going.
All right, man. Well, have All a right.
Well, that wraps up yet another episode of Radio City with John Grayson and Rob Ross. We hope you've enjoyed what you've heard. You know, keep the cards, letters, protests, you know, dick pics, whatever you want to send to us, keep them coming. Because we're going to ignore everything you say that's anti-us because we don't care.
Exactly.
We people, you don't. Bunch of savages in this town.
37. Have a beautiful week, Rob Ross. Enjoy yourself, man.
You too, brother. We'll see you all next week. Good night and God bless.